Welcome back to the Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. Joining me next is Les Brown. I'm so excited because I saw him at that movie, Beyond the Secret, the screening thing that I went to. He was one of the panelists, really kind of stole the show, in my opinion, he did. He is not only an Emmy Award winner, but he was named one of the world's top five speakers by Toastmasters International, author of many books. One of them is Live Your Dreams, and it's not over until you win. Also hosted his own nationally syndicated talk show. Welcome to the show, Les.
Thank you so much for having me. And you had a very good friend of mine, Marianne Williamson. Yes. She is brilliant. I love her.
Yes, she is. She has a lot of great insights. So your thoughts and feelings on the inauguration yesterday. I know that you watched it. You told me that you watched it. And
yes, it's incredible on so many other levels that most people could not appreciate, particularly being an African-American, because, you know, when you're part of a group of people that by the Constitution of the United States had been declared only three-fifths human, and from out of that group of people, one becomes the most powerful man on the planet, then you put that in a context that it creates tremendous possibilities, and it just could not happen at a better time in our history. Because now it says to people, anything's possible.
In one person's lifetime, too. I mean, we didn't have to wait 150 years for this to happen.
Absolutely. And it really broke the myth. It broke a myth because Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who was the second African-American to graduate from Harvard, he said, if you can determine what a man shall think, you never have to concern yourself with what he will do. He said, if you can make a man feel inferior, you never have to compel him to seek an inferior status, for he will seek it himself. And if you can make a man feel justly an outcast, you never have to order him to go to the back door. He'll go without being told. And if there's no door, his very nature will demand one. So the myth has been broken on so many levels, particularly for black men and black people around the world, because the myth is that has been broken is the lie that we bought into as a people.
Yes.
And so when you look at a guy said, and I'll never forget this, he said, even though we are made in the likeness and image of God and has been given authority and dominion over everything on the face of the earth, we will never exercise authority and dominion over our lives until we exercise authority and dominion over what we are not. We live in a world where we're told more about our limitations rather than our potential.
Aren't we, though? Yes.
So now I say to people, if you're going through foreclosure, and I've gone through that, if you lost your job, I've had that happen. Whatever situation that appears to be disastrous, 12 years ago, someone looked at me and said, with a stethoscope around his neck and a white coat, you have cancer. You have 2 to 3 years to live. That's devastating. No one ever wanted to hear those three words. Cancer is the most feared word in 7 different languages. Well, in the midst of all of this, what we now know that we were chosen for this day, for this time, and for this hour, that we have something special. There's something we have within us that was needed for this particular time. And all of us here were chosen for this time. You were chosen 1 out of 400 million sperm. That says that now is not about Barack Obama's first 100 days. It's about our allowing ourselves to be the vessel and the channel for some great moments to create here on the planet.
Yes, and I agree with you. And he was one hell of a symbol for that all as well.
Absolutely, for everybody. Yeah. And that's a great thing. See, because now it's one thing for me to say, wow, if Barack can do it, I could do it. But if you're white looking at that, say, if he could do that, hey, I know I could do it. That takes it to a whole other level over there. Absolutely.
You know, I saw him walk in there with the responsibility of all of the slaves on his back and all of the Republicans and the Democrats and the people that were for Bush and against, but all of these people, you could see on his shoulders when he walked in. This is just the image that I got when I looked at his face. And he still gives me chills.
Yes.
And the somber look that he had on his face, knowing that this enormous amount of responsibilities on his shoulders, yet he still maintains this focused calmness about him. It says a lot for him, but I'm hoping 100 days later.
But it's not even about him now. It's about us. See, I'm saying that what we need to be looking at is, as people on the planet, what will our first 100 days be like? Not his. What's our 100 days be like? What are we going to do now? That the first step is we have to get grounded. You asked Marianne about what do we do about the financial meltdown. You've got to get grounded, first of all. We've got to handle those things that we can handle, and those things that we cannot handle, let those go. Those things that we can handle, we have to deal with that.
Okay.
One of the first things I did when I went through a foreclosure, I had to get grounded. I had to decide, what am I going to do now?
Okay, friend of mine's job ripped out from underneath him this morning.
Yes.
No clue, didn't even see it coming.
Yes. That happened to me. I was on radio in Washington, D.C., and Clear Channel, I worked for them. I mean, and I was for Radio 1 at that time. And on the front page of the newspaper with my co-host, George Wallace, the comedian, he read, "The Tom Joyner Show is going to replace The Magic Show." I said, "The Magic Show?" I said, "Would that be us?"
Oh, God.
A reporter had leaked the information they did an interview with Alfred Liggins, the president of Radio 1, and said they were going to hold the story until George and I were notified.
Oh.
And then they would release the story that we were fired and then replaced with Tom Joyner.
Commercial
radio is
brutal.
I found out on the air.
And
so at that moment, I had to gather myself. And I said, "You know, you got to learn how to be graceful in an ungraceful situation." I said, "Radio 1, they made a good choice because Tom Joyner is an icon in radio. He's a big gorilla. He's already syndicated. This will save them a lot of money. I want to thank them for the opportunity for being on the air, for the time we've been here. I want to thank you as listeners for giving us this opportunity to be in your households, to be in your cars. And this has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy. It's been a plum-pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege." Now, and that ended my time in radio. And when that happens, first of all, it's staggering, it's jarring, and particularly when it catches you off guard.
Shocking.
And you have bills and responsibilities.
Yes.
What this person has to do right now is they've got to give themselves time to get grounded and decide at some point in time, what am I going to do now? Helen Keller said, when one door closes, another door opens. But most of us spend so much time grieving about, talking about, and looking at
the closed door.
We don't see the open door. I say if I had a chance to talk to that person right now, first of all, I just listen to them and help them go through the emotions of the anger and the frustration and the losing of the relationships and the shock and feeling betrayed because they milk you. And then after he goes through that phase there, because you can't stay there forever, but that's a part of the process, I said, "You know, what a great opportunity that you have now." Marion White said in life, when you don't have enough courage or insight to know that you have outgrown a situation and it's time to move on, life will move on you. So that person really has not lost a job. This person now has been released by the universe to go out and do something else. Now they can take advantage of what Time Magazine said in 2007, the person of the year was a computer. So now they can start, what's the person's name? Let's say John Doe. JohnDoeRadio.com. He can now have his own radio show.
Right.
And the talents and the skills that he brought to that syndication company, he can start his own with no money.
When you got that diagnosis of cancer, did you look at the open door?
Absolutely no. I'm saying to you, that's why you have to go through the grieving process. I had to do it quickly. I didn't have a lot of time because the bills were accumulating. And so you have to move with a sense of urgency. He's been released or she's been released. And now how do you take your talents, abilities, and skills and use it in a different way? Knowledge is the new currency. That's the name of the game. Knowledge is the new currency. This person, they have some talents, abilities, and skills. They can earn 5 times more in the open market than they can earn working for Clear Channel. They pay you just enough to keep you from firing, and you work just hard enough to keep from getting fired.
Then you do a couple of different people's jobs to keep yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They work you 2 and 3 jobs on one salary.
A lot of companies are doing that right now.
Absolutely. So this is a time, what Ralph Waldo Emerson called the age of self-reliance. You have to reinvent yourself. This is the time you look at your job as a paid internship. What are the talents, abilities, and skills that I have that other people can use these talents, abilities, and skills?
Because of all the layoffs, people are doing the jobs of the two and three people that they let go so that companies could save money. You're grateful to have your job and you're busting your ass. You don't have time to think about what your resources are because
you're not given the luxury of not thinking about it because you don't control what's going on. This is a new day, the day that Peter Drucker calls the era of the three C's, accelerated change, overwhelming complexity, and tremendous competition. Today, you either expand or you are expendable.
True.
So you have
Absolutely.
To use all your talents. So I'm a speaker.
Okay.
I train speakers. I'm an author. I can do radio. I can do television. I'm going to produce a television show. So you have to use all your talents. I did not know this Les Brown that you're now talking to. I did not know that he existed.
You just knew he was a radio host.
You know one of my favorite plays? Lion King, Mustafa
yes.
said.
Yes,
Simba, you're more than that which you have become. We have more in us, but we've been programmed to work on a job 40 years, 40 hours a week doing the same thing. That day is gone. This is a global economy. So now you have to look at your talents, abilities, and skills, and what is it that you have going for you that you don't even realize? I did not know that I was more than Les Brown, the man about town. LB Triple P, there were none before me. There will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only young and single and loved Domingo, certified, bona fide, dubly qualified to bring you satisfaction and a whole lot of action. I was more than that. Come on, baby. Help me out.
Yes.
But at the time, you couldn't tell me that. I thought that was all that I could
Are
do.
Are you sure that that was then and it's
yes.
not now?
Well, and I yeah. still got it. But what I'm saying is I went from that to becoming a community activist. I went from
a
that
comedian.
To becoming a state legislator. I went from that becoming an author, becoming a talk show host, producing specials for PBS. I'm saying to you that now on the planet, we have the opportunity to give birth to parts of ourselves that we don't even know that now exist.
Amen. That is an excellent point because I have just interviewed this great woman, Laurel Langmire, and she came up with this thing on her website, which is 1,000 different cash machine ideas, 1,000 different ways that you can make money in this economy right now. And they included things like dog walking or, you know, teaching an exercise class or any, I mean, those types of things, being a seamstress for the neighborhood. I mean, there's so many different things that you could learn or you already know how to do that are somehow a hobby to yours that you could actually bridge yourself.
This area, years from now, historians will look at this area and say that this was the beginning of the largest explosion of ideas, of industries, of jobs,
right, Hugh, that
of entrepreneurs
in the yes.
than any point in time in history. Because what we know, if out of a group of people who were considered three-fourths human, if out of that group of people, the most powerful man on the planet could emerge, then it's possible. And mind you, when you begin to look at the possibilities, all of us, Einstein said we only use 10% of our abilities.
You know, I heard a very interesting interview with Barack Obama 2 years ago. They just recently aired it again yesterday. And he was up and coming. And the interviewer said, can you explain all the attention that's been put on you? Some people are even talking about you becoming the next president of the United States. And he said, yeah, go figure. I mean, I didn't plan on this happening. I'm committed and dedicated to the hard work that I'm doing here. And he said, imagine that, basically.
It was
interesting because he didn't have this eye on the ball the whole time. And I mean, he wrote books and so forth about it. But
you know why we buy into Barack Obama? Because he represents the best and the highest in all of us. That's why we like him. And here's the good thing. That came out of defeat. Bobby Rush, the former Black Panther, when Barack Obama ran against him and he lost, Bobby Rush beat the socks off him. When things happen to you, they can make you or they can break you. That made him. And he decided after that, he became a new person because he beat Bobby in all of the public and the local debates. He beat him hands down. And he just knew that he was going to win. And Bobby Rush whooped his butt real good. And so as you begin to look at this guy came from the canvas. I have a saying in one of my motivational tapes, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back because you can look up, you can get up. He got back up and came back again. That was that defining moment for him. And so all of us are going through some defining moments in our lives. Right now, less than 30 days ago, I had 5 stents put in my coronary arteries. I had 95% blockage in my right and left coronary artery. I could have dropped dead just like Tim Russett. And I didn't know. I didn't have shortness of breath or pains in my chest. We don't know how much time we got left. Here's what we know. Life to me is about stories, it's about moments, and it's about awareness. And as we begin to look at ourselves and look into the future, the name of the game now is get grounded, get into position, and make something happen. that we've got to look at our lives, look at where we are now, what, so what? What am I going to do now? Charles Udall said, in life you will always be faced with a series of God-ordained opportunities brilliantly disguised as problems and challenges. We were born for such a time as this.
Well, you are absolutely a phenomenal motivational speaker. I feel motivated right now, and now what do I do with it?
You find something that is your passion that turns you on. You were not born to work for a living, but to live your making, and living your making will make your living. Find out how you can serve, because your success or failure in life is directly related to the value, the quality, and the service that you provide for the planet.
That's what Barack Obama was talking about this morning, was about service. And,
yes.
And about, you know, where to begin, though. I mean, where to begin? You go back to the grassroots of where you started?
Ask you where and how, they're not serious. I say to people, make the commitment. Everything that exists, somebody at some point in time made a commitment.
So you got to look for your goal first and then go?
Yes, decide you're going to do something different with your life. I mean, John F. Kennedy said, we're going to the moon in 10 years. He said in 10 years. That was exact. That was not a wish. He didn't say, well, we'd like to try to go to the moon. He said, mm-hmm. We're going to the moon. He was not an engineer. The technology did not exist. And he said, we're going to the moon. We've got to decide right now, individually and collectively, where we want to go with our lives and make the commitment to do that. And then out of that will come the way, the how, the resources, and everything we need in order for it to become manifest.
Well, I had actually asked Marianne about this, and I'd like to ask you the same thing about this pendulum swing, or where we're at with this financial crisis. Do you think that this is something that will check us, will bring us back into balance as a nation? Do you think that we were overspending or overmarketed to? Do you think that we needed to tighten our belts a little bit, as I'm talking general or broad right now?
Listen,
but what's
to what
your
you just said,
spiritual
and I
perspective
think
of it?
I think it's very important that what you said. You said financial crises. Financial crises.
Mm-hmm.
Crises in the Chinese language means danger, and it also means opportunity. So now we have an opportunity to start a new chapter. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. We don't have time to sit around and start talking about, well, there was a lot of greed and there was a lot of corruption. The name of the game is this new chapter that we have right now. All we have is right now. The past is gone.
But what if right now are layoffs? This morning were more layoffs.
And I'm saying to you, if we are laid off this morning, you've got to begin to process this, and you've got to assess yourself and say, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What value do I bring to the planet? Who is it that needs what I have? And go out here and create your market. George Bernard Shaw said, the people that make it in this life, they look around for the circumstances that they want, and if they can't find them, they create them. When I lost my job in radio, I then went to an event. Zig Ziglar was there, the number one motivational speaker on the planet, Tony Robbins and Dr. Robert Shuler and Mark Victor Hansen. I decided that I was going to speak. I love to speak. I love to help people. I decided to use my talent in a different way. I said, when you're in radio, you're living as a blind man. You're talking to people that you cannot see. If I can talk to folk and connect with them and can't see them, what can I do if I see them? Mm. And so I decided to reinvent myself. There are people listening right now, have talents and abilities and skills they don't even realize. Let me give you an example. I'm reminded of a young man, and many of us are familiar with this story. He was a very talented and gifted pianist in his lifetime, had a tremendous reputation. And one night when he was playing in this lounge, a patron asked that he sing a song. The bartender came over and said, you know, we have a patron would like for you to sing a song, any song. And the pianist said, while playing, I don't sing. He said, but I'll play anything he wants. So the bartender went back over to the patron and said, this young man, as you can hear, he's a very talented pianist. He doesn't sing, but he will play anything you want. He said, look here, man, I've gone through divorce. I've lost my job. I'm going through some tough times right now. I just need to hear somebody sing something. So he went back over to the pianist and said, look, God just needs you to sing anything. You know, just make up something. He said, man, I don't sing. You hired me to be a pianist. That's what I'm going to do. So he went back over to the patron and said, look, the guy doesn't sing, but he'll play whatever you want. He said, look, I've spent over $1,000. If he doesn't sing something, I'm leaving. I'll take my money someplace else. The bartender went over to the pianist and said, look here, you sing or you're fired. And the pianist at that time held his head back, closed his eyes, and started singing. Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa. That singer was Nat King Cole.
Really? Is that a true story?
Yes. He was first a pianist. He was recognized by Oscar Peterson as one of the greatest pianists of his time. He was a pianist. He didn't sing. He was not a vocalist. What song are you sitting on? What greatness do you have within you that you don't even know? Now, Oliver Wendell Holmes said most men and women go to their graves with their music still in them. Come on.
That's true.
It's not over until we win.
Let's talk about that little tiny thing called fear.
Of course.
When
that's
that comes
always
up.
There. We're born with that. We're only born with two fears, the fear of a loud sound and the fear of falling. Everything else we learn. So that's the imagination, fear, as Zig Ziglar calls it, false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. And that's okay to have that fear.
What do you do with it when
well,
it comes
what
up?
You do is you convert it to faith because we are the authors. We make a choice. You can live from your fears or you can live from your faith. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Faith, finding answers in the heart. What resonates with you? Who are you? What do you want to do with the rest of your life? How is it you want to come out here and provide some service to people that allow you to be able to exchange money in the marketplace? What is it that turns you on? What is it you like to invest yourself into? What is it you like to volunteer? How do you want to leave your mark? One of my favorite movies is about, it's called About Smith by Jack Nicholson. And I saw this movie four times and something at the end of it grabbed me. He was writing to a little boy in Africa named Nduku that he had adopted and he expressed all his frustrations and his anger about his life, and his life did not turn out the way that he wanted it. His marriage was not happy, and his life was not a fulfilling life. And he said, Nduku, when you die and everyone you know dies, unless you have done something significant with your life, it will be as if you were never born.
Very profound way
and
of
I say that
statement, yes.
We are here to make a mark, and we will find that. We have to get still, be still, and know
what if your
that
mark,
all is well.
What if your mark is like raising children?
And that's you, a good thing, yes.
And,
that's what my mother, I'm adopted.
From that, right?
I was Mrs. Mamie Brown had a third grade education. I was born in an abandoned building on a floor with a twin brother. My mother, Mamie Brown, she adopted us at 46. I feel like Abraham Lincoln, who said, all that I am and all that ever hoped to be, I owe to my mother. When I was in the fifth grade, I was identified as EMR, labeled educable, mentally retarded, put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade, failed again when I was in the eighth grade. But because of my mother and her example, and she was not a PhD, she did not make a lot of money. She worked on Miami Beach as a domestic worker. We ate the food left over from the families that she cooked for. These were very kind and generous people. I can hear Mrs. Sadursky now saying, Mamie, whatever food is left over after we eat, you can pack it up and take it home to those children that you have adopted. We wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that Mama kept. They were too small. Mama let them out. If they were too large, she would take them in. And I remember saying to Mama, Mama, what, Leslie? When I become a man, I'm going to buy you a big, beautiful home just like this. And my mother could bake too, Lisa. My mama could bake a sweet potato pie so good you couldn't eat it with your shoes on. You had to take your shoes off so you could wiggle your toes. And my mother did not make any money, but she made a mark. She, when you hear me speak, they call me Mamie Brown's baby boy.
Yeah.
All that I am and all that ever hoped to be, I owe to my mother. Those are the words of
You told
Lincoln.
An amazing story
yes.
about her, about when you were carrying some clothes and you said, I don't want to wear those.
Yes. And well, the thing is that I bought her home and I didn't do a title search and the home went into foreclosure, went up for a chef sale and I was feeling humiliated. I had this home in North Miami Beach. We had to pack up and go back to Liberty City to the roach infested house that I had moved my mother out of.
Oh.
When people go through foreclosures, it's a traumatizing experience. And there I was, neighbors coming out looking, said, Mamie, I thought your boy bought you a home. And she said he did, but he lost it. And I'll never forget, Lisa, there I was feeling defeated and humiliated, feeling stupid and dumb because I didn't read the fine print. There's no saying wherever you find yourself, at some point in time, you made an appointment to be there. And there I was crying and feeling depressed. And my mother came around to the side of the truck and she said, boy, I said, yes, ma'am, mama. She said, hold your head up. I said, mama, I feel so stupid right now. She said, and she took her hand and she put it under my chin. She said, hold your head up. You have nothing to be ashamed of. We have each other.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we went and put the things in the house. And the roaches were so glad to see us. They started singing, Mamie's back. Mamie's back. We're going to get sweet potato pie.
But we're going to be that happy.
You know, that what I learned from that, you know, Dexter Yeager said, no test, no testimony. that in that moment, that they said adversity introduces you to yourself. She said, we still had each other. That, you know, I have a process for people right now. Number one, be thankful.
Start there.
Yes, because even in tough times, it's easy to ignore what the good things are and the things you have going for you. But we have to be thankful and think about the possibility. One door closes, another door opens.
Are you thankful for the thing that happened that devastated, or are you thankful
in all
for
things
what's
give thanks
forward?
Because something is going to come out of it. When I was fired from radio, I had no idea that as a result of my being fired, I became a community activist. As a result of my being fired, I was elected to the Ohio legislature, 3 terms. I was the chairman of the Human Resource Committee and became the chairman of the Education Committee. I had no idea that I had the ability to be a state legislator. Had I not been fired, I never became a motivational speaker and traveled around the world and earned over $58 million doing what I love to do. I'd have never produced specials for PBS, 8 different specials. I'd have never had a talk show that was syndicated by King World 10 years ago, a highest rated, fastest canceled talk show in the history of television. Okay. But at least
that.
I had one. Right. So I'm saying to you that had I not been fired, yeah, that would not have given birth to this Les Brown that you now see. I would have never been able to meet the Lisa, who's the 3 B's. You know, she's got brains, beauty, and the body. I would not have been blessed.
Oh.
Lisa May.
Okay.
So I'm saying that all of those things, had I not been fired, I would have died with those things still in me. I'd have still been in radio because the people that I hired, they are still there at the radio station in Columbus, Ohio. So as a result of that firing, as a result of them killing off that Les Brown, that gave birth to an expanded version of me that I did not know existed. Remember, Simba, you're more than that which you have become.
Yes, and also that, I mean, that movie had also the same thing in that showed that there's deceit and that it shows that there's lying and it shows that there's hope and that it shows that there's kingdoms. I mean,
it's called life.
Yeah, exactly.
All of that stuff is it's all of it's about life and no test, no testimony. All of that contributes to who we are. All of that. You know, I like what was said that life is like an onion. You have to peel it one layer at a time.
And there's many layers.
And sometimes you cry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that's a part of the process. And it's okay. Think it not strange that you face the fiery furnaces of this world. You will have tribulation. Stuff's going to happen to you.
Stuff is going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I like what L.C. Robinson said. He said, things may happen around you and things may happen to you, but the only things that really count are the things that happen in you. That's all that counts.
And the shift that happens in you. I'm wearing this shirt that says Shift Happens. It was given
Absolutely.
To me by those folks at the Awearables, I think is their name. They have, it's true, it's going to happen, and so a shift will happen after the other stuff.
Yes, and
the
that's why you
stuff.
Have to get grounded. Mm-hmm. You have to clear your thinking. You have to begin to focus. You have to position yourself to start making something happen. You have to get grounded. You have to be thankful. You have to be connected with other people. You can't make it by yourself.
Yourself,
you want to find
yes, you have
like-minded
to.
And like-hearted people that you can associate with that can help you become engaged again, okay? I believe in the philosophy, ask for help, not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong, and ask for help and don't stop until you get it. The other thing is you want to be active. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. Even if you don't have a job, go out and volunteer. Give of yourself. I volunteered after I lost my job. And then while seated in a center in Liberty City, waiting on an assignment to work with youth, a phone call came to the director of the institute and said, look here, come on down. I can hear the person on the other phone. There is some grant money that's going to be sent back tonight at 12 midnight to the federal government unless you bring a proposal. I was out of the room before she could hang the phone up, caught a bus down to Dade County Auditorium, and I saw people submitting these proposals for youth programs to make sure they don't have riots in Liberty City again. So I didn't have a proposal, but remember, it's about thinking. So I went to the drugstore. I saw a drugstore outside. I went and I was walking around. I heard this voice said, go in the drugstore. And then I went into the stationery section. I got some paper, 500 reams of typing paper. I got a folder and I went up to the cashier, got a rubber band, put it around there. And I wrote on there, Les Brown Youth Enrichment Seminar. Went in there and said, members of the committee, as you can see, I got 500 sheets of paper here. You don't need copies of this. Let me tell you about my program. They gave me $125,000.
Oh my God.
For that program.
What a great way to end. Talking about possibilities. You live in that world of possibilities.
Yes.
Hey, thank you so much, Les Brown. MamieBrown.com is where you can find out more about my guest, Les.
Thank you so much. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's Baby Boy. It's been a plum-pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege.
And while I'm committed to bringing you the clearest information possible in the end, I always encourage you guys out there to listen to your own truth each and every time. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.